My beloved people, there is not all that I need to bring to your attention this morning, of course, except reminding you to please pray for all the sick and to pray for those who have asked for our prayers. I think sometimes that I fail to emphasize the necessity, our necessity, to pray for the ones that call upon us for prayer and help and assistance, for the sick and the dying that are anywheres and everywhere. I think that as a community of faith, which we are, that we should be able and should be willing to give to God that prayer which is necessary for the welfare of all those who come to us for help. Of course, remembering always to keep in mind our own who are sick and in need. Today, we conclude the discussions on the publican and the Pharisee. And I ask you to please bring all these parts, these four parts together, and to read them carefully together, and to read them quietly and peacefully and with recollection. Be mindful that in this particular parable of our blessed Lord, that he touches upon the very point that makes our gift acceptable, outside of charity, of course, but makes our gift not only just charitable, but makes our gift pointed enough for him to hear. Our gift has to be internal. We think sometimes that this might be overemphasized. Well, maybe it is. But over, I don't think so. If we look and if we study the words that our Blessed Mother oftentimes when she approaches us in whatever way, that the words of our Blessed Mother are not so much spoken in terms of global things, though global things are hinted at, of course, peace and such like. But our Blessed Mother emphasizes what? More than she emphasizes such enormous things as with global dimensions, our Blessed Mother speaks more to our own individual heart, to our own individual private conversion. Learn how to pray. In all the parables of our Blessed Lord, if you really and truly look at them carefully and investigate them carefully, you will notice that there is an overall thread which weaves all of these things together, all of its parables together. And that one thread which weaves them together is internal activity. It behooves us nothing to exercise all of the externalisms that are poured out upon us. Please do not misunderstand me that I am down on externalisms. I am not. I am down on how sometimes in some places some people do use externalisms the way they do. In that, in those activities of ours, our extra prayers, our extra genuflections, our extra this, we fast here and we don't drink water there, and so on and so on. All these things in themselves are not bad. But the thing that is important is that we have an internal disposition which will pierce the eye and the ear and the heart of God. This is what we must work on, even in today's gospel. In today's gospel, we pick this up. God knows what we need. And all of us are in need. There's no one that is not in need of one shape or form or thing. But Almighty God is not going to give us what we need if he does not see in us that interior disposition which changes everything. In today's world, which is a very competitive world, it's always been competitive, but never quite so competitive as today. In our competition outside, we have to promote ourselves, our ability. We have to go forward. We're always on the attack. We're always on the offensive. We're always proving that we are the best. We're always proving that that which we are promoting is the best. And we're taught how to do this. We must go forward, forward, forward. But that is not the way to reach God. It's all right if you're, I'm not saying that if you are in the selling a business, that you do not go with the defensive and say, well, you really probably don't want this product, but I'm here to sell it to you if you do. You do not go in apologizing in the outside world. That's understood. But with God, we have to take those duds off and put them away and put on the duds that are looked for by Almighty God. The duds of humility, the clothing of humility, the cloak of humility, everything humility, more humility, and still more humility, because then before God we are our true selves. While we're out in the world, while we're out dealing with the competitions of the world, we're not our true selves. For that matter, we're not supposed to be our true selves. Because the product that we are handling demands that we present the product rather than ourselves. But with God, we have to be our true selves. And what are we in the sight of God? Nothing. And sometimes we are so concerned about our needs. Today's gospel, one of the sweetest gospels in the entire book. Consider the lilies of the field. How absolutely wonderful is this. And how the birds of the air and all of these creatures of God depend upon God completely for their needs. And how their very existence pleads to God for help and sustenance and food and protection. But even in their needs, we see them, and today they are, and tomorrow we cut them down and burn them. We're a lot more important, as Christ himself tells us. We're a lot more important than these little things that grow out in the woods, grow out in the fields. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And there is nothing. There's positively nothing, if we can possibly keep that in mind. There's absolutely nothing that we can look upon and see that is as near in its importance as one single, solitary, individual soul. That soul reflects Almighty God. Therefore, let us not forget that we have a soul. We have such a soul. And that importance is me. That importance is not something that has been placed in me. I'm not a type of reliquary containing importance within the limits of my reliquary. The importance is me. I am the one. And I, all things being equal, I reflect Almighty God. All things being equal. Therefore, let us put aside the things that are today, the lilies of the field, the things that are outside, that are here today and gone tomorrow, in your own existences, in your own acquaintances, in your own jobs, in your own accomplishments, in the fulfillment of all your desires, in your purchases, and all the rest. You remember, once upon a time, how each of these, in turn, was terribly important. And how much energy we spent, how much effort we put out, put forth, in the cultivation of this or that or the other. And to what extremes we went in order to achieve this or that or the other. And time flew by. The day turned into night, and the night turned into day, and the years as they flew by. And we look back at ourselves, look back at our years, look back at our days, and say, where did that importance go to? Why was I so concerned about this or that or the other? Why did I spend so much time and effort with this or that? It wasn't important. But the only thing that is important in me, which continues and perseveres in its importance, is my own welfare in my soul. I was talking to someone just the other day who deals with big financing, big things. And his effort, his business, is only to deal with big things and money and all that and all that and all that. The normal things that we consider big, and that's his business. It so happened that we were engaged in something which outside is considered to be menial. And I was telling him about it. You know what his answer was? And here he was, in the midst of all of this importance and opulence and money and big dealings and this, that thing and the other that outside people are constantly dealing with. You know what his answer was? At least you, at the end of your day, have something to show for it. aren't those dreadful words? That men who, and people and individuals who spend their entire effort at whatever it is they're doing, and as they turn around to look at what they have done, and see nothing. Is it any wonder that frustration and depression and all such like are so prevalent today? Goodness gracious! At the end of the day, what could be more refreshing or more peacemaking or more fulfilling than to look back and see that even though it be tiny, I built this little tiny birdhouse today. I did that. That's what I accomplished today. I hold it in my hands. And that's important. But to look back after working all day long at the end of the day, I hold out my hands to see what I have done and see nothing. Yes, we have to eat and we have to work. Our blessed Lord, Himself God, our blessed Mother, His Mother, and our blessed Father Joseph, His Father on earth, they proved that we have to work and that we have to do that which we have to do in order to eat and to live. But they also proved that above and beyond this, we have greater things to accomplish, which we must do. So my beloved people, as we proceed and as we walk step by painful step into the wild blue yonder that plagues the minds and the hearts and the souls of every living human being today, as we look outside and we see nothing but lightning bolts coming from all directions at us, all directions, all directions, all directions, crashing with thunderous crash all around us, and fear fills our hearts and minds and concerns, let us not be of little faith, but rather let us look to the words of our blessed Lord, who looked at the little tiny things, the little things, the things that people, as walking, will probably put their feet upon them and think nothing of. But these are the little things that tell us beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is there and is providing for us. But we have to show Him our desire. And we have to be people of faith, my beloved people.